Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp, Ana Luisa, and California Cryo. We are very excited to have them on board, making our show a possibility. Yes, we are very happy.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Love is love.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
All right, Jamie.
All right, guys.
This Welcome. Is a big day. It's our first two-parter, Jamie.
It's a twofer.
Our first two-parter. I mean, this is a very special episode. It was so chock full with Oliver that we were like, we have to put this in two parts because we've got a guest, another guest that comes in with the guest next week.
Yeah, it's super. It's a great episode. I'm really excited to share this with everybody.
I am too. But we do actually have to thank some patrons before we get right to Oliver.
Yeah. All right. So we have some new Patreon members. Ooh. Thank you so much, Patreon members, for joining our community. We're going to say thank you to Donna Lee. Ariema. I think it's Ariema.
Ariema. I would say Donna Ariema. Lee Ariema.
Donna Lee Ariema.
Thank you so much, Donna Lee. By the way,
and
my name's Robin Lee, so I have a special place in my heart for Donna Lee. Hi, Donna Lee.
Your middle name is Lee? Oh, how cute.
Spelled just the same way.
And Robin, who's our second Patreon?
Okay. Sonia Kusmanin.
Sonia.
Thank you, Sonia.
Woo! Thank you guys for joining our Patreon community. We couldn't do it without you.
And if you want to join Donna Lee and Sonia and help us make great content for LGBTQ communities, for our families. What? Help us make this content podcast. For LGBTQ families. Yes, this podcast. That was tough, Jamie. You're just going to go to patreon.com/ovariestalk and you can join us there.
And you get perks there. You're going to get the episode a day early on video. Super exciting.
All kinds of good stuff.
This second episode is already available to this one right here, right now. Just go join Patreon and you can watch them both.
All right. So, our guest today.
OMG. All right, Oliver. Oliver, beautiful, beautiful person. Oliver reached out to us and had a question about trans fertility. And we said, what did we say, Robin?
We said, we don't know the answer to your question, but do you want to be on the podcast? Because that's what we always say. And he, of course, said yes. And then we had like a bajillion conversations over a year because Oliver was trying to get out to a place in his life where he was ready to talk about it. And then finally, after like our third call, he was like, I want to do this. He was like, but I also want to bring in a doctor to answer the questions that, you know, he was like, basically so that my trans siblings who are making choices with their body that are going to affect their fertility choices in the future. He was like, I want to have this conversation with a doctor on air.
So that they can
part
hear
two.
The right answers. And we actually spoke with a doctor, guys. We just sat back and let the doctor talk.
But so this first part of the two episodes is Oliver telling us his story, mm-hmm. Which is so exciting. So you're going to want to make sure that you listen to this episode and come back next week so you can get the second part. But this is Oliver's story. Should we get to it, Jamie?
And I just want to say we're so grateful to Oliver for wanting to share this, for being so open with us. And we're just super grateful to have him as a resource for our whole community out there. So Oliver, you rock.
It was really like a gracious thing that he did to share in such detail, like what he's going through so that he could help other people as well as himself. And I think that's just, it was like an honor to sit with him.
And I do want to reiterate that it was his choice to share this. This is all Oliver's choice. And we are just grateful that he wanted to use us as a platform to share this.
And I'll tell you what. Even Helen loved Oliver. That's how amazing he is. And she is here to roll the tape. She has a finger on the button.
She was like, I'm rolling the tape for this one. She's got her finger on the button. She can't.
She's literally telling me to shut up so she can hit play.
She loves it.
Okay, Helen.
I got it. Okay, Helen. All right.
Now.
Roll the tape.
She did it. Hi, Oliver.
Hi, Oliver.
Hello, Robin and Jamie.
We are so excited you are here. I mean, we first talked over a year ago when you just emailed just to ask us a question, and we were all, be on the podcast.
This is a long time in the making.
It has been, and divine timing, rightfully so.
Yeah, it does happen when it's supposed to, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we are super excited.
Likewise, thank you.
Should we start where we always start, which is with the elevator pitch about you and who you are and why you're with us today?
Yeah. Did you want to put the clock up?
Oh, I'm gonna. Okay. All right, on your mark. Get set. Go.
Okay, well, we start off with my cat, so I suppose we can start with those devilish noises.
Oh, my God.
That's Freddy. He just jumped on the fridge, so he lets people know. He telegraphs when he's jumping. Anyway, so...
That sounded like someone was dying.
I know. It's very alarming and disturbing for my colleagues and my vendors and all that. Anyway, so
Freddy's
hi.
That is a good name for that.
Hi. Freddy Arthur Walters, my other cat. He's a double hyphenate. We're well past the 30-second mark.
You got this.
But that's me. So I'm a verbose white trans man. I date women. I'm what I would describe as a binary trans person. So I present male. I have a very rote trans male story, but that's only one aspect of my identity, but it's definitely appropriate for this conversation. I am also a professional. My side hustle is called Digital Mystic, in which I help new business leaders shift into creating a world we all want to live in. And on my day job, I'm also working for a company that is going to change the food industry. And I think that's me in a nutshell right now. Book obsessed, surfer, have a well-rounded life, a little bit of an introvert. But yeah, I'm just delighted to be here with you guys and have this conversation for the edification of our queer family.
All right. And Oliver, you win the longest elevator pitch, plus you win cat appearance in elevator pitch.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's amazing.
Amazing. And we have a lot to unpack. Obviously, I say that every time, but you reached out to us because you had a question at first.
Yeah, we should start there, right?
Yeah, let's start there because we didn't know the answer. And I also do want to say, before we get into it, Robin and I, we say it all the time, are two old lesbians who didn't grow up with all the language that is out there now, binary, non-binary. So we make mistakes, and we would love, like, please do not be afraid, obviously, to correct us if we say something that is offensive or that mm-hmm. if we say something wrong, help us out. But if you don't want to help us out, that's your your choice too.
And if that happens, blame Jamie. That's
it's always Robin's fault.
I mean, I'll let you know. I'll check you. But language is always evolving, right? And I just appreciate right. the generosity of spirit. And like, we're all gonna fuck up. Yep. We're three right, white people right. on a call talking about like bodies. True. You know, it's a new world, a more honest world. So I appreciate that.
Yep. Yeah, thank you. And we're doing our best. We're all doing our best.
Yeah.
So
yeah, let's start with why you reached out to us.
Yeah. So, you know, trans people historically, I mean, what's historically in terms of the Industrial Revolution, but I'm talking really in the last 100 or so years when medicalization, as we know it now, biotech and all of the things that have saved lives and harmed lives at the intersection of complicated and complex, you know, we have a few famous trans folks who are mostly known in the novelty world. Christine Jorgensen comes to mind as one of the first trans women to be able to afford gender confirmation surgery. But mm-hmm. there's no longitudinal study on like exposure to testosterone or on, for my trans sisters, estrogen progesterone. And I'm not an expert on trans women or folks who are assigned male at birth using those hormones. I can only speak for testosterone users. But we don't know what happens to the body long term. And when I reached out last year, I was 31, turning 32, basic math. Now I'm 32, turning 33. And I've been on test. I'm a trans dinosaur, right? So I started transitioning medically over 10 years ago. 2009, it was a different time zeitgeist-wise. I mean, the millennials, we were just coming into certain working power, and we just didn't, I had the transition or I was not going to survive. Mm-hmm, my mm-hmm. family of origin is not, the story there is not necessarily a great one, like a lot of trans folks from my generation. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I was very much on my own. So I didn't care if T was going to shorten my life or not. I was going to get on it. I was going to get top surgery. And I knew eventually that I was going to get what's called metoidioplasty surgery, which we'll get into. But why I told you I'm for both. I got to give context.
Yeah.
So I was looking, you know, last year I don't have a partner. I love children. I had just come off my internship for my grad school program, which oddly was not an MBA, even though I work in business. It was in counseling psychology. My internship was working with kids. I was working at a preschool, and I've always loved children. I think they're the wisest of all of us, and then adults just go ahead and fuck them up. I mean, sorry, no, this is a family show, but like,
it's true.
And that's kind of why, you know, what started this, I've been on a journey of psychoanalysis and healing. I mean, I've been working with shadow work for more than half my life, since I've been about 12, actually. I'm a very woo person.
What is shadow work?
Oh, yeah. So, gosh, this is, I swear to God, I'm trying to answer the question, but there's so much context. So I believe that this is Earth school. Like, we are time knowing itself. We are having our souls are, if you want to go Oprah, are encased in a body, in our meat suits, however you want to talk about it. Uh-huh. So we're uh-huh. all here to learn lessons of duality. And part of duality is there's light and there's dark. And there's no value judgment assigned to this. But the shadow self is Pluto. If you think about it astrologically, it governs shame. It governs the great letting go. So pooping, orgasms, all of it. So all of the things that from astrology people out there, and where there are queers that I know who fucks with astrology, the shadow work is really like on a Jungian level, working through the things that we either repress or suppress. But part of why I reached out to you guys, I didn't want to completely sterilize myself. I kept an ovary. There was no doctor in the room saying, yeah, you should or you shouldn't. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll keep one. You know, if I get stuck right. without my testosterone, I would like to have a backup hormone system for my bones and my brain.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
Don't tell.
No one was advising you on this?
Not really. And it wasn't a malicious thing. Back to the medical invisibility for trans people. there are no longitudinal studies. I mean, mm-hmm. and Dr. McLean is going to actually school all of us on this. Thank God that there are people like her in the world who give a shit about people like me and my siblings, mm-hmm. meaning my trans siblings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they're doing God's work in terms of getting some studies out there about not only impacts of hormones, but like best practice of care for when right. you take an innie and make it an outie, or make right. an outie and turn it into an innie. Like, not to be totally binary about it, but because not all trans people, and I should say this, want to medically transition or want to have surgery. That is not the case. Mm-hmm. That was the case for me. Mm. This is what I consider the binary trans person. I very much wanted an outie, and I very much wanted
a flat
chest.
Is that what you meant by the binary trans person? Is yeah. that it was that you wanted the physical transformation? That's what you meant by that?
Partially, yeah. So secondary sex characteristics, like a beard, bigger muscles, which comes from testosterone, a more angular face. Like, those are things that were all very important to me. I had a mental image of who I was and what I was going to look like from when I was a very young, you know, I started to medically transition at 21. So I had two puberties in my life.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. I just got rid of the back knee as of last year. So it's 10 years of back knee hell.
Oh, man.
Robin, you know, now that COVID sanctions are finally lifting, I'm afraid to take my mask off. Are you afraid to take your mask off? I'm totally afraid.
Not really, Jamie. I think maybe it could be time for you to talk to your BetterHelp counselor on that one.
But I think you're right, actually. I love my lady. I'm going to talk to her about it. But for those of you who don't know, BetterHelp is therapy that is done securely online, guys. You just go to their website, you sign up, and you can start communicating with a licensed professional therapist in under 48 hours.
I mean, in all seriousness, with all this COVID crap going on, we all need it. And mm-hmm. BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling. And there is a broad range of expertise that's available, which may not be available to you locally. So you can maybe find somebody who's more qualified to deal with your particular situation or issue that's not in your town. Like your fear of facing the real world, Jamie.
I am not afraid to face the real world.
Just saying.
Robin, I'm just a bit attached to the mask at this point. But whatever.
No judgment.
Yeah, I will talk to my lady about that. And that is something I love about BetterHelp. I can log into my account right now and send her a message, and she's going to be right there with a response. And another thing I love, it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling. And financial aid is available. It's super accessible.
BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. Huge.
Yeah, guys, BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today.
And to do that, visit betterhelp.com/OCT. That's Better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, Robin, that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
And just remember, everyone, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And If These Ovaries Could Talk listeners are getting 10% off first month at betterhelp.com/OCT.
OCT. Do it. Get that help.
I digress again. But so I reached out to you guys because I figured, you know, okay, here's a couple people who talk to queer people about how they procreate. It's a hot topic to people who are queer and want to procreate, but there's not a lot of medical information out there, even for, you know, lesbian couples who have not had medical mm-hmm. intervention. And there's correlation here, by the way, too, for lesbian couples or for people who have wombs. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
This could be a trans man mm-hmm. or who have, unfortunately, have a cancer diagnosis
right.
and mm-hmm. have to freeze their eggs. So this is not just impacting trans male procreation. This is about anyone with a womb who wants to procreate, right? So it's egg freezing technology. And back in 2010, there were early trials on this, but it was highly unaffordable, especially for a 21, 22 year old kid like myself.
Yeah. And you would have had to have stored those eggs all that time too, if you had pulled them. Because the difference in the egg freezing, it feels like in this decade, it has really changed a lot in the success rates and all of that stuff, you know? So it's like,
you might
have spent all that money mm-hmm. and it might not have even been viable.
Correct.
That's true. Yeah. Also, it adds even more time to the time you're waiting
to perform this gender confirming surgery that you're dying to have, right?
I mean, yeah, and it was so that this is really about testosterone, this first part. So back in 2010, and my doctor, who I adored, was a trans woman. So she was very as well informed as anyone could be. She was on the WPATH board. There's a conference in Philly that happens every year, which I am so sorry for my trans people out there. I cannot remember what it's called. I guess we could put that link in show notes. It still happens. It's a very famous trans medical conference. But regardless, so she was very well informed, and I would still reach out to her and trust her with her medical opinion to this day. But she was like, we don't really know what testosterone does to the body. It's informed consent, right? She wasn't telling me not to do it. She's a trans sibling. She was very much informing me. But like as 22-year-olds, again, who was not doing so well mentally, I didn't care. I was, you know, give me the testosterone and let me start my journey of embodiment, because I had spent my life disembodied and flighty out of myself. And so back to why I reached out to you guys again. I work in an industry that pays me well. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to save up and have children, like be a single dad, well, I've been doing all this friggin' work on myself. And I do believe that when you do your own healing, your reproductive tissue, from an intergenerational trauma standpoint, and this is not only esoterica, this is very much proven in science. There's a great author named Mark Wallen who has a book called Didn't Start With You, which essentially proves intergenerational trauma. Studies a lot of folks who come from people who survivors of Holocaust, who have psychological issues that are actually from their grandparents.
Which makes sense. You hand it down.
You hand it down. I have been doing a lot of work on my intergenerational shit. And I was like, oh my God, I have this ovary. I wonder what's up with that. Like, how would I go about, I don't have a womb. I don't have, everything got taken out. I don't have fallopian. I don't have a vagina. I don't have any of the things that I was born with and I've actually reproduced. So can I speak about the medical part? I don't want to be explicit.
Whatever you're comfortable saying,
go have at it.
We're happy to hear.
Okay, great. Yeah, I feel for, I mean, my trans guys out there listening are like, yeah, dude, like we know. But just for everyone's knowledge, there are two options right now that trans men have for what's called bottom surgery. And just to point out here for my people out there who are not trans, let's not go around asking
right,
trans.
Don't ask.
Yeah, just don't ask you about their bodies is like my general rule. Yeah. Just don't comp, right. Like, and it's for pregnant people, don't touch bellies. Like, it's kind of the same.
We talk
like,
a lot about
hands off me.
The difference between voyeuristic questions and questions when people are in conversation. And Jamie and I talk also a lot about how we're open in one way, but then other people are not. And so it's like finding what people's openness are. Like, what would be a helpful thing for someone to know, just don't ask, or just like if you bring up the conversation, like what's the space for people to know?
That is such a thoughtful question, and I'll speak for myself and for what I know from my sample size. Actually, I know many trans. It's just like we're all it's 1% of the nation, right? Mm-hmm. Or trans, which is a huge actually amount of people when you think about 330 million.
Yeah,
but we all kind of like everyone kind of knows everyone kind of, especially the internet. but by and large, when you are not the trans person, let the trans person lead. If they want to tell you what they want to tell you, they're going to tell you it. If you ask, you are, even if it's love out of curiosity, a lot of times I'll get questions from straight people or cis people, really straight cis people, mostly around, I've got a trans, blah, blah, blah. Can you help me? Blah, blah, blah. Right. And I appreciate that. And for the trans person, I personally, me, Oliver, will usually step in and say, sure. But I'll have to preface it with like, this is kind of me and where I look very, people are surprised when they find out I'm trans. And I don't identify as a stealth person. I love that I'm a trans person. So I want people to know that I am a visible trans person. Anyway, this is all to say, I am more open, not because I'm necessarily the most open person in the world. I'm actually extremely private, but I want trans people's beauty to be honored differently. And it's still this like novel, like back to Christine Jorgensen, there's still this voyeuristic, like gross You know, it's interesting. There's correlations in like in race and ethnicity about like the way, and we just saw this in the New York Times when there was this argument around should Black be capitalized, the letter B. And of course, it should be, right? You're honoring a population of people who historically have been completely marginalized. But you'll see it in the way people used to, like when I was growing up, you would kind of go down when you said Black, like, oh, just Black person.
Yeah,
they do that with lesbian too.
She's a lesbian.
Well, that's that St. Elmo's fire joke, like cancer. You know, you whisper anything that you find deplorable.
Good reference there. Yes. It's like all the things that if you're not this straight, rich, white, cis person is like whispered.
Yeah.
And
the shame.
It's shame.
Like, that's the connotation.
Yeah.
It can also be people don't know what to do with it as well.
Yeah. They're afraid to say it.
Yeah.
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 Like, I mean, today, sometimes language can be a landmine, you know, and we learned early on that intention matters, but it doesn't matter. Your impact matters. So it's like just trying to, I sometimes find myself being like, you know, because I just don't want to hurt anyone. Yeah. Like, I think all those things are wrapped up around it sometimes.
Let's talk about Ana Luisa Jewelry, Robin.
Let's.
Here's why I love them. They start with recycled materials whenever possible. They always use transparent business practices, and they make jewelry in small batches that are kind to the earth. Boom, boom, boom. New jewelry collections also are released every Friday. Boom, another mic
drop. I mean, I love them for those reasons too, but also because Maxine loves them. She's been my daughter. She's been wearing this bangled bracelet that we got her every day since it had arrived. Mm. I also love that their pieces are fair priced, with pieces starting at $39. Mm-hmm. And she's already saved up enough money to get herself another piece, which she is doing with her Greenlight debit card. I'm not kidding.
That's amazing. Go ahead, Maxine. Mm-hmm. Go ahead with your bad self. Their pieces really are nice. I love this for her. And I love this for me. And I love this for you. I love it for all of you. Pride is coming up, guys. Get your sweetheart something special. You just go to analuisa.com/ovaries and you're going to go treat yourself and your loved ones and use
code yourself.
Ovaries to get 10% off. I absolutely recommend them. They're a great brand making beautiful, sustainable jewelry.
Seriously, go check out analuisa.com/ovaries. Code ovaries.
Go do that. Go get that jewelry.
All right, so let's go back to you. And you know, you were like, basically, if I'm getting this right, you were like, I've got this ovary and now I'm kind of, I've been around all these kids and now I'm wondering, is it working? Is it going to work or is that where you were at?
I didn't know anything because there's no real literature out there. I mean, I'm a professional Googler, so like I'm pretty good at hunting down what needs to be found. And I found you guys. And so I reached out to Robin and she was like, well, let's talk. And I was maybe going to go get, this was like middle of the pandemic. And I was like, maybe I'll go see this fertility specialist and like get tested. I don't even know how you get tested like for any of this. Like, it's all science fiction to me on like a single ovary. I had no idea. And we'll find out more on the medical side of this, but I didn't know if my testosterone had frozen my eggs in time. I didn't know if they were 22 years old or 32 years old.
Right.
And that's important because you are on the timeline that is the timeline for people who have female insides. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. So you're on that timeline if you want to use those eggs.
The reproductive tissue, and this is unlike our trans sisters who, if they keep their gonads, are able to reproduce forever, you know, provided you can get an erection and achieve orgasm. You know, for trans men or trans masculine people, when you take testosterone, no one knows what it does to your anything, really. Except we do. I think there's something, I think we do know that it does. I remember them telling me something around this about the cervix. I think it like dries out the cervix or it's testosterone.
That would make sense when you talk about menopause that happens.
Correct. Exactly.
So that would
what happens
sense.
To you when you go into testosterone is you essentially, and I have been through menopause. I've been through a couple menopauses actually.
My God.
Starting testosterone and then having the surgery. I got a hysterectomy, right? That's what bottom surgery for some people, not all people.
Yeah. That's, you were going into the surgeries. And
The two options. So you have phalloplasty and metoidioplasty. For phalloplasty, you graft skin from elsewhere on the body, either radial phalloplasty from the arm, which is the most sensitive and is the most innervated, but has the least success rate, or the back, which I dorsal or something. I think I'm thinking about a dolphin, or the leg. And the back and the leg have higher success rates, but lower
sensitivity.
Sensitivity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any of those words?
Innervated differently. I mean, think about the difference between your arm and your back.
Yeah. Sure.
And your leg. You can feel it differently. And so, and it's
like tougher skin on your back and on your leg.
Yeah. It's harder to hook up the nerve. So essentially the analogous organ in the cis male body to the penis in the female body is the clitoris, right? And we, as we know, the clitoris, 90, it's like an iceberg, 90% of it is hidden behind the pubic bone, right? When you start testosterone, androgen. So essentially what happens in the womb, that didn't happen for people who have come out female, come out who are born with vaginas and wombs and all the things as little babies, is we don't go through the androgen releasing process. We don't go through that, right? Obviously.
Huh.
And so when you take testosterone, you kind of start going, you go through it. So you don't grow balls or anything. I actually really wish that was going to happen. And some people it does, who have androgen sensitivity syndrome, who are actually XYs. Very different conversation. But what does begin to happen is your clitoris turns into a penis for all intents and purposes. Mm-hmm. And this is like all
the body's amazing,
men.
Right? The body is fucking amazing.
It's really cool. Wow. And it's
and science is amazing too.
Yes. And yes. And get vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah, that too.
Hashtag vax.
Hashtag, yeah, I believe in science.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you grow and you, like cis men, there's greater and lesser degrees of growth. And so I was blessed enough to have enough growth to have metoidioplasty, which just rejiggers what you got. And for me, sensitivity was the most important thing. Like, phalloplasty, I have very strong feelings on. I don't agree with it. And I, like, don't come at me, brothers, if you've had it. It's personally me.
You can only speak for yourself.
I can only speak for myself. This is not judging anybody. People have their own reasons for all things. I don't care about a package. I didn't care about, like, changing at the gym. I'm very happy to go naked in, like, male spaces and with my, like, my little dick. Like, I don't care.
That's the greatest thing ever.
Oh, I think that's true. Big dick energy, by the way.
It really is.
Yeah,
I think you're really packing on the inside.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's all energy. I couldn't care less about that. So, I mean, I wanted a beard and wanted muscles. I like everything else. I couldn't care less about the like size conversation as lesbians. Mm-hmm. And I had a stint in that world. Like, we all know we can strap on diff, like, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. I was just going to say, it was going to make Robin uncomfortable. You're talking to two lesbians here. We don't care what size your package is.
Exactly. Like,
you know, we care about your energy.
Keep going. We got this. It's
all about what you bring to the game, right?
It's all customizable. And it's all customizable for the surgery as well with metoidioplasty. And back to my choice, you get presented with a smorgasbord of options. You can do what's called a UL, so urethra lining, I forget what it's called. You hook up your urethra, and this surgery, I'm sure, has changed since 2015 when I got my surgery. And so in the past, Jesus Christ, this is 6 years. Oh my
six
God.
Years, yeah.
So six wow. years, I'm sure it's a different deal.
Sure of it, yeah, right?
But if you get UL, so if you get that hookup, you have to have a hysterectomy. You have to, you don't have to, but you really should close the vagina. It's a very uncomfortable conversation. It's a process to close things, to close the hole. But what that does is,
it's not a zipper.
Yeah.
It's not. If you close the vagina, you have to remove the things that you would have to get anything that would have to be pap smeared has to go, right? For cancerous.
Right. Yeah. Oh, because it's closed. Right.
Because it's closed.
And
so
the vagina is a serious organ.
It's a serious organ. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the beginning of light.
Right.
On a metaphysical level, it's an incredibly intense deal. And part of this too on that is I identify as hard and dry, not wet and soft, which I always thought was the way to describe it to my metaphysical peeps in the esoteric community. It's an energetic thing. But anyway, I picked my off my menu of the list of things that I want. I got the Cadillac, and then I was like, keep an ovary. So I was able to keep an ovary. And now we're here talking about it. And all of it was because I, again, so this was 6 years ago. I was 27. I can't do math that well. 27, 25, something. 26, I don't know.
Someone but you're thinking I might want genetically tied kids.
Yeah, I didn't. I just didn't know. I still kind of don't know what's possible. Again, because I haven't done the fertility consult. I also really don't think that I'm going to want to do the hormonal treatment that you have to do if you're doing IVF. Even as a female identified woman, it just sounds like a fucking nightmare to me. So, like, bless it's all of you who've fun. Done it. Okay. Have you done it? You've done that. So that's okay.
Jamie has. I have not. Yeah.
It's, I mean, everybody responds differently though. My wife went through it. She had no side effects, nothing. It was a piece of cake for her.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I was a hormonal mess.
Oh, I feel like you know about that. You've gone through.
Yeah,
you know,
you've
gone through hormonal shifts and changes and menopause. Like, you're pretty aware as to what that was like to go through it. So, you know what I mean?
And younger. I think it was hard because I was actually still technically in puberty when I went through second puberty. I was 21 years old. Jeez. I don't think you stop puberty until your brain fully melanates at 25, which is when I had bottom surgery. So I appreciate, you know, I don't know what it's like on the estrogen progesterone side. I actually went the opposite direction, but I do know what it's like to put substances or synthesized hormones in your body imbalance. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Your body is like, what are you doing? Like, this is not how I'm built.
And not to mention the trauma of going back on hormones that it brings trauma back into your life. I don't want to speak for you, but like we talked to a couple, a trans female, they had babies the natural way, but she had to get off her hormones and let her testosterone take over. And she said that it was so difficult. So that's a whole other thing.
And I will say, from what I understand and remember about estrogen, it's a much more intense hormone.
Yeah.
That sounds in some ways worse to me. I mean, I can't speak because I haven't been through that process. It would just fuck with me mentally.
She said it was like, imagine having found who you really are.
Yeah.
And then it's taken away. And all of a sudden, like, all that would made her happy, she was back to that place before she was able to be the person that she knew she was. If that makes sense, if I said it right.
It does. And again, like, I appreciate that you guys are being mindful of language. I think it's like, What's cool about this time is that we're in the process of talking about language. But what's hard about this time is everyone's got their own language. So it's like, so I appreciate that. And I think, I mean, yeah, I Laura was her, is
yeah,
her name?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I would just be so curious what it was like for her when she got back on E and progesterone. And again, I don't know.
She was back to herself, and because they had the baby by the time we talk to them.
Okay.
And she was just looking back on that time about how hard it was and how miserable and angry, and they almost broke up, and they, you know, and they were going to quit. They were going to quit. And then they accidentally got pregnant, which is kind of amazing.
Miraculous.
Yes. Miraculous. Yeah. Great word.
Thank God.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But it took her a while to get back to normal. She did say that too, but it was similar
medical things to what you're starting to bring up, that the sperm was like, there were issues because of the estrogen, and there was like, you know, so there was all kinds of problems. So, I mean, I feel
low
like
count.
That's, yeah.
They weren't swimming straight.
Yes.
I'm sure we're going to at some point segue here and bring Dr. Mock Lynn on to talk about this in way more detail and with much more intelligence than I could. But
you sound super intelligent.
Oh, bless
you. Compared to Robin and I,
the swimming to the right. I don't know.
Okay, y'all, we have a discount code you're going to want to write down right now. Seriously, get your pens.
You said y'all, but it's true. This one is one of our best discount codes yet. California Cryobank is offering our listeners a free level 2 subscription. You're just going to go to cryobank.com and use code OCT to start that baby making process. And here are some of the reasons why you might want to choose California Cryobank for your journey.
Here they go. Ready? California Cryobank has been helping The LGBTQ plus community start their families for over 40 years, folks. They have a very compassionate client services team who will help you through every step of the process. I actually had to call them a couple of times when I was in the process of choosing sperm, and they were like really nice and super helpful. No
yeah,
joke.
Yeah, I had that too. And I also love that they have a large and diverse selection with extensive donor information. They've got essays to family medical history to audio interviews, donor photos. You're going to learn more about each donor and help with the selection process.
Yeah, I like California Cryo. I'm happy I used them.
Me too.
They have also an at-home insemination option, guys. This is seriously for our community. They've made it easy to ship vials to your home so you can get pregnant somewhere other than a fertility clinic. A lot of us want that. And a lot of us LGBTQ folks would prefer to start out this way. And California Cryobank gets that. They have us covered. Yeah. I love that.
They see us. They really do, Jamie. They really even say in their talking points, we work with all kinds of families, whatever that looks like. If there's That's one us. Thing you can say about our community, it's that we come in many shapes and sizes. Many.
Truth. Truth. So, folks, go ahead and start your search for donors today with a free level 2 subscription. Go to cryobank.com and use code OCT for free 90-day access to view extended donor profiles, childhood photos, adult photos, and express yourself items. This is huge.
Yeah, that's cryobank.com and use code OCT for free 90-day access. California Cryobank. Dreams start here, Jamie.
If you build it, they will come.
Babies. Well, I want to ask one question, and then, but I want to tell our listeners that this is the first time we're going to do this as two episodes. So we're going to tell Oliver's story, and then we're going to bring back for episode 2, the part 2 of this, with a doctor to get more into the medical. So stay with us for the next episode. But I do want to ask, as we sort of like conclude with you before we move into Dr. Mocklin, is where are you in thinking about parenting and about this process? Is some of it that you just want to see if it's possible and you're also considering adoption? Or is it that you're like, where are you in this whole world?
Yeah, well, thank you for that question.
You're the politest interviewee ever. I love it.
It is a good question. You're making me be polite to Rob, and this is so strange.
So rare. Thank you for that, Oliver. I'll take that all Thursday.
Oh my God, you guys are so funny. Okay. I think you're both comedians, as I believe is true. So I date women. I'm what I call a boring trans person. I'm like a straight guy in many respects. So it's like, if I find a partner who wants to have children with me, I'll be like, whatever you want to do, babe. Like,
you know? Yeah, right.
tell me where to go. I'm in the garage.
Flannel on.
Yeah, whatever, babe.
You got this.
So, and of course this came up when I was single and like just thinking through if I become a single father, because I do want children, like I just love children and I feel they're such, it's so important. I don't know, children, like I might start crying. Like I just think there's so much beauty, and I didn't get a childhood. So there's that part too. Like I would love to be able to heal that part, you know, through boundaries, like not project onto my child, like please heal my childhood for me, but like through being the adult parent that I didn't have, be able to guide a child. And that's where I skew a little more adoption actually, because they're both expensive, right? Like let's just like the money aspect of it, it's going to cost dough. Which is fine. I don't like great.
Even you, and even like you said, you have the privilege to maybe choose that. But right. even somebody with privilege, this is a lot. Yep. This is, and it's an ordeal to undertake. I mean, this is a lot, it's no a matter lot. What.
Yeah, and it's heartbreaking in many ways when you consider also like any of it. All of it is hard. All of it is none of it is easy. All of it is hard. And that's like, and that's also, you know, welcome to 2021. And so I, at this point, I kind of don't mind a difficult path or journey, but I think the question for me is really out of curiosity, like I'm curious mostly what's possible. I am less likely at this phase in this stage in my life to want to undertake IVF personally. Me, I'm curious if it's possible. But again, like in the ideal scenario, there's a partner and there's a conversation and like she might, if she's able to carry, might want, like I can't carry anyway, but if she wants to use reproductive tissue and find a donor, all that stuff, like I'm open to all of those conversations. But if it's just me, and I become a single father, I think there's also like policy stuff around how hard that would be to adopt, or I just don't know any of it because I'm not in a phase of my life where I can mm-hmm. have children. I don't think it'd be fair to a child and fair to me and all this stuff. But so it's a complicated answer to a kind of straightforward question, but I'm open to all of it. I just don't know what the configuration is going to look like yet.
You know what I really love about, in one of the conversations we had prior to this, you said, I want to do this podcast because I want to help out my trans brothers who are coming behind me, who may be making decisions about their body that are irreversible. And I thought that was so wonderful that you want to do that, and that you even went out and found a doctor for us to have in this next episode.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to have the platform to do it. Like I said, I'm actually an intensely private person, but I think if it's for like, if it's a service, I have a lot easier. I become part of the whole, you know, right, I'm not just a singular being. I am part of the whole. And WHOLE for all you perverts out there. So, right? Which I count myself as one of, so no offense. but the level of commitment that I have to like wanting to spread the gospel of trans magic is so huge. And so, yeah, Dr. Mocklin was actually, there's a great community of people in the Bay, and this is all coastal as well. We should probably call out the coastal privilege of like,
yeah,
you know, I'm talking to you guys states. In Brooklyn. Yeah. You're talking
all the bubbles.
Bay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's real, you know, and whatever happens on the coast impacts what, I mean, it's like, there's like a 10-year difference between what happens coastally and then how it comes inward. We're seeing that in Alabama, Arkansas with these fucking horribly terrifying bills against young girls in bathrooms.
Yep.
I mean, all the bills. They want to ban all surgeries. They want to ban gender confirming anything. Yeah. Like, it's just insane. And can you imagine if more work was done on the kind of conversation we're having right now, as opposed to spending all of our, not ours, their time and energy
fighting
on banning something they know nothing about.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Jamie. That's why I wanted to say thank you to you as we wrap up this episode. And I have to tell everybody again, you've got to come back next week for part two of this. But like, I want to thank you for just the generosity with which you walked us through this conversation and your openness and just your willingness to just talk and share. Because I think, I suspect that this will be incredibly helpful to so many different people to understand.
Thank you guys for the opportunity. I hope that it is helpful.
There's no way it won't be.
And we totally get what you mean with this whole, like, it being a part of the whole and why it's so much easier to discuss. Like, I'm private too. Robin's private too. In our own ways.
Okay. I'm not even a bit.
You guys are so cute. Robin,
but I am. I'm private too. But when it comes to this and this podcast and this community, there's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason why we're sharing these stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you thank just you. Beautifully embodied it and explained it. And so,
no, thank you, thank Oliver. You thank you.
Yeah.
You, Oliver.
You.
Thank you. No. Thank you. But thank you.
Let's just like keep saying thank you to each other for like 10 minutes.
That's it.
And then see when we lose. And the listeners are like, is this what they're doing? Thank you, Oliver.
Gratitude. Thank it's all about gratitude. Oh, Oliver. Oh,
I fucking love Oliver. I just fucking love
his
openness, his intensity, his like, I love that demon cat. I love everything about Oliver.
And once again, I just feel really honored that he came to us and wanted to share his story. Thank you so much, Oliver.
Ugh. Yes. And don't forget to come back next week for part two of this chat. We're going to be inviting in Dr. Mocklin and Oliver will be back. And it's another amazing, amazing discussion.
Yeah, we go in depth. Come back. All right. Let's talk about this film we watched.
Together. Jamie and I got screeners.
We got screeners of a film. That's how big we are. We're huge.
I mean, I didn't want to say it, Jeremy. I didn't want to say it, but we're pretty darn big.
It's a cool little movie. It's about a surrogacy relationship that forms through a dude who's using a surrogate, right?
Ed Helms.
It's a really interesting movie. It was an interesting idea for a movie.
Yep. And our gal Tig Notaro is in the movie.
And she's excellent in the movie.
She really is. She plays a little therapist. She's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I really loved, and I know you did too, because we've talked about this.
Yes.
The fact that there was a non-binary character that was the surrogate's best friend.
That person was my favorite person. That person.
Yes.
Oh my God, they were hilarious.
It just brought some really good levity into it. But it was such, so it's such a, it's such an interesting movie.
I knew them.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I know.
Like, I've worked with you before.
I liked it from like a representation point of view, the movie. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody should check it out. It's out digitally. It came out digitally May 11th. So check it out. It's called Together, Together.
Together, Together. It's a fun little watch.
Yes.
And also, if you're still in the mood for some LGBTQ content, you can always go get our book, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family. You can get that at all major retailers. And if you want to buy locally, you're going to check out Indie Bound and get that book. Get that book.
Get it.
You can also get the audiobook.
Yes, which Jamie and I will read to you if you aren't sick of our voice at this point.
I mean,
and
how could you
get
be?
That? That's available at Amazon and iTunes. And don't be afraid to rate and review the book on Amazon or Goodreads. It really does help juke the algorithms and get the book out to more people. And it's just our goal is to have our families represented to the most people imaginable. So do that for us if you would.
Push it out there into the world. Push it out.
Please, please.
Representation.
Matters. I don't know what that was.
I have a hiccup, so you're going to have to take this.
Okay, so then I'll say, let's keep this conversation going while Jamie has the hiccups. Hold your breath, Jamie. Join us on the social, Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube. And on YouTube, we have all kinds of like fun videos, but also the recordings of our live streams, which are every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern. And those air on YouTube and Facebook.
Mm-hmm,
and you can support our podcast, as we mentioned up top, like Sonia and Donna Lee, at patreon.com/ovaries talk.
Yes, and if you join right now, you can listen to part two of this episode right this second. Just go in there right now, and well, actually, you can watch it because it's in a video.
At the gestational carrier level, you'll have to be at. Yes, so yes, yes.
Go listen to this episode. You want to know about it. Okay, that's it for today.
Thank you to our sponsors, BetterHelp, Ana Luisa, and California Cryo. And a huge thank you to all you patrons who are literally helping us make this show.
We couldn't do it without you.
We sure couldn't. And on that note, Jamie.
I guess that's it. Eggs.
That's our new sign off. I guess that's it.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.